T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I was special teaming it up all during the week.
Patrick Manily.
My all-time favorite Bear would have to be Patrick Manily.
Bears long snapper for 16 seasons.
Pat Manily, the long snapper. Maynard put it in position, and Robbie Gould sends the Bears to the NFC Championship game.
The longest tenured player in Chicago Bears history.
Captains the midfield for the coin toss. Patrick Manily breaking an all-time Bears record for games played.
You know, it's great that they have one of the most confident combinations between the snapper, holder, and kicker.
Kraft Beer Mogul.
Long snapper IPA. The can is me long snapping a ball on top of an El Camino.
Patrick Manily.
We're probably watching the tape and saying, why is Manily on the ground rolling around? He's not blocking anybody.
With Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Pat Manily joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. How's the boat, Pat? How you doing out there?
How do you know I'm on a boat?
Oh, I got sources, and I follow you on Instagram.
That's my wife's fault. Yeah. The boat is wonderful. The weather down here is perfect in Florida. I'm just trying to live up to Coach Wonstadt's like icon status.
Yeah.
So to me, after we had that dinner, maybe we can break that down before we get into the Texans and the Bears, but he's the most interesting man in the world.
For anyone who doesn't...
Dos Equis guy. He needs to be the most interesting man in the world.
I agree.
Anybody who doesn't know, the four of us here on the show, along with Dave Wonstadt and Pat Manily, had a steak dinner a couple of Fridays ago. And yet, Wani knows everybody, doesn't he? There's like 6 degrees of Dave Wonstadt for the entire football universe.
Did we even speak? I think he talked for 4.5 hours. And you guys kept just peppering with questions, and I kept drinking wine.
He broke for ketchup, I think, at one point.
He did.
Yeah.
He did do that.
Well, I think you got the second most words in. Like, we were definitely peppering him with questions and follow-ups, but it's tough to go, you know, go beer for beer with you, go, you know, puff for puff with me. Going story for story with Dave Wonstadt, man, it's tough to do, and you've seen some things.
Yeah, I have, but his stories, man, oh my gosh. I don't know how many we can share or should not share or can share, whatever it is, but he's unbelievable. I had no idea. Obviously, I have a tremendous respect for that man, but I didn't know his life like went that deep and how many people he knows. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, Danny and I had zeroed in on two that we need to pull out of him at some point this year. We didn't get either last week, right?
No, and he's kind of intimated to me that they might be off the record, but the what could have been in Miami story and the recruiting story in L.A. Like, I'll just vaguely talk about it those ways. Those I think.
But we know them now. We know the recruiting story.
It's painful.
Yeah, but it's an amazing life, and I bust his balls all the time. Like, so yeah, you're on that boat. He became best friends with Jimmy Johnson.
It's a good move.
And wrote it. To the U in the 80s, the Cowboys in the 90s, the Dolphins, the Bears, and the NFL on Fox.
And Fox, yeah, I was going to say.
Like, it's an incredible best friend, Pat.
But hold on. He's talented as well, though.
Oh, of course. No, but yes, the point is
it's
that
not
like,
what you know, it's who you know, and what you know keeps you there.
Well, I like that.
His friend got him in the door, right?
Yes.
And then he kept himself there for 30 years. I'm not belittling the man. I'm just saying
that's an awesome
best friend.
He's also really fun to work with, which matters, you know?
Sure.
He's easy to work with on stuff. You're fun to work with, too, as long as you don't, you know, have to watch baseball. Because then I lose you after 3 months.
Then I'll quit on you.
Yeah. It's good to know.
But I did learn hockey, thanks, Jay Zawoski.
Yeah, you did. All right, look, Lovie Smith is here. Lovie Smith and the Texans are here. And there's so many comps, obviously, to the Eberflus defense, and we've talked about
very
all that.
So.
But tell us about Lovie the man here for a second. Like, we wondered, did he know about the beers that you guys would have post-game? Did he know about dodgeball in the locker room that you've told us before? Did he take part in any of that stuff? Was he one of the guys ever, or was he clearly the leader and the man in charge?
No, well, honestly, it's similar to kind of what I'm hearing about Matt Eberflus is setting a culture for the guys. So there's a standard, there's a way to go about it. And as long as you're being a good human, doing the right thing, performing in practice, doing stuff in meetings, obviously, you know, doing the right thing on the game field on Sunday, he'll let a little thing slide. And I think Lovie knew there was stuff that went on at training camp. I think he knew about the dodgeball in the locker room. Some guys would, you know, just partake and party in maybe a little bit too much during the week. But if they were producing on Sunday, then that's all that mattered. But as long as you're being a good person while you're doing that, does that make sense? And it kind of sounds like that's what Eberflus is doing. He's saying, all right, guys, this is what it's going to be. I'm going to be hard as heck on you at the beginning. We're all young. We have to practice our butt off and do all that kind of stuff. But if you perform on Sunday and you might do something a little bit that, you know, that I don't agree with or you shouldn't be doing, but if you perform on Sunday but you're not getting arrested and being a bad person, then I'm okay with it. And that's the way Lovie was. But here's the other thing, Matt. Lovie, when he came in every day, was the same person every day. So take like that heartbeat monitor, you know, and you get your EKG or whatever, and it goes up and down, up and down. He was just a straight line. But when he got happy, it would blip up just a little. And when he got mad, it would blip down just a little. But if it blipped, you were like, oh my God, he's either really mad or he's really happy. But that made it easy for us coming into meetings every day, to the building, the facility, all that stuff, that he was just the same person every day, and he knew what he expected out of you. And that just made it, I don't know if it made it easier, but it made it, it just made it simpler for us, and we knew what we had to do.
Trent Dilfer told us that playing for Tony Dungy was a similar kind of thing as what he's hearing about Matt Eberflus. And so that makes sense. And Trent said that you just gotta be worried if any of the big ego people don't feel like they're getting their just desserts as the culture is being built. Did you guys have to deal with that at all?
No, we had Urlacher and Olin, and those were the guys that ran the building. And what was interesting is, you know, I call Brian Urlacher the most humble superstar I've ever met. And I've been lucky to meet a few, and to be able to work with him made our locker room that much better. So if anybody came into that locker room, you would always look down at 54 and you'd say, what's he doing? What's he thinking? And even Olin did that. Like, you know, I've told you the dodgeball story. Are we playing dodgeball again? We all asked Urlacher, what are we doing? Yes, we're playing dodgeball again. It was okay to play dodgeball the second time after getting yelled at the first Saturday we weren't supposed to do it. So we had a great culture in our locker room, and that's going to be hard to build, and we were very fortunate to have that. And I'm hoping the Bears right now have that. But it sounds like Matt Eberflus is allowing those guys to develop that, you know what I mean, to develop their culture and who they want to be.
Little gust there on the Gulf coming across.
My bad.
No, it's okay. It's tropical. makes me feel like I'm with you.
Yeah, you're not.
I wish you were.
Thanks, Pat. when Lovie came in, like, do you remember first meeting? Like not your first meeting with him, but like his first meeting to the team? Because I'm curious how that is mirrored with what we've heard about how Matt Eberflus has introduced himself here.
Yeah, I think I do remember it, and I was old enough to be judgmental. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you'd been in the league, what,
I'm
6 years?
All right, I've already played for Wonstadt. I've already played for Jerron. What's this guy going to be like? And I remember just kind of watching him and listening to him and being like, all right, yep, agreed, okay, simple. And that's one thing I like that Eberflus is doing, simple, like the message and all that kind of stuff. And I thought he was excellent. I just was very impressed. I also think that one thing that impressed me, well, it didn't impress me at the time, is that we had young coaches, but they grew into be great coaches. Babich, Tobe, all those kind of guys. But, he was very simple with his message, and it was like, either do this or you're out. You know what I mean? So it was a simple thing to follow.
Does it surprise you that he's still a head coach in the NFL?
No, and I think that's – he's a leader of men. And I have a lot of we all have friends that are, you know, maybe successful or whatever they've done in life and – ran a business, and I'm like, he could run your business. He could do your business. And the reason why is he's a leader of men. That's just, it's simply put that way, that's who he is. And he could do anything. He could walk into any meeting, round table, mahogany table, whatever, big auditorium, and he's just a leader of men. It's not surprising at all.
We're talking to Pat Manley here, Parkins and Spiegel on the score. The injury report is out. There is a piece of good news as I see it and a piece of bad news as I see it. Bad news is back-to-back days for Roquan Smith not practicing with the hip injury, but Velus Jones has been upgraded from a DNP on Wednesday to limited today. We can start with Velus because I feel like he might have some value on special teams here. How would you want them to ease him in or work him in if he is able to make his debut on Sunday?
Just hamstrings are hard. Go back to Lovie Smith. He was always one, if you had a hamstring, he would hold you out an extra week or two because he just didn't – he knew that would linger. But it's unfortunate that the young man has that going on because I really think their special teams would be a lot better with him out there. I think he'd be great for the kickoff return and punt return. But if he's not ready, don't put him out there. He's a young man. Just give him another week or two because he's not that valuable right now in the offense. So don't have him go out there and return the first punt or first kickoff return and you know, re-rip that hamstring. I don't want that to happen.
Tristan Ebner had a weird couple of moments on Sunday night, didn't he? Returning kick. One time it looked like he just like froze. Do you know what was going on there with him?
Yes, I've watched. I'm not a big fan of him returning kicks. I'd rather have Khalil Herbert. He looks more decisive. He gets choppy with his feet. Going back to that, gets choppy with his feet, not trusting, like, you know, if you're, I'll go tackle, doubling the R3 and doubling the R4, and you got to run off a butt.
Yes.
He's not willing to run off a butt. He kind of chops his feet and is waiting, and you just got to run to that butt and trust it. And he's not doing it right now. He's done it a couple times, but they're not enough where I'm happy to see him as a returner. He doesn't seem like that's his natural position. And then when they had, was it Marcet Smith, they tried to run a counter because he had the speed. The one that got tackled, I think, on the 17. Well, if you're running a counter, like normally you see the guy, if it's running to the left, you got to run that thing deep into the blocks and then counter off of that. He turned it too soon and got tackled and didn't allow the other side to kind of flow over the top for the counter. But Ebner, to me, right now, is just not ready to be an NFL returner.
I know you love the 11-person ballet that is a well-executed special teams play, but if that returner doesn't do his thing, the whole thing looks screwy, and then you can't judge the coach, can't judge the other players, et cetera.
But let me put this this way, too, that Coach Hightower is doing a good job. They're doing a nice job of blocking it up. There's been some holes that have been missed, and that's kind of why I have not been happy with Ebner. Because they're doing a really nice job of blocking up. They're doing a nice job of coverage. There's things in coverage that second, third year, fourth year teams that have been together are doing where they're switching lanes or switching fits or whatever you call it. And I've been really happy with what he's done so far.
What have you seen from Roquan Smith?
He looks a little heavy. That's my opinion. I don't know. You know, he just looks heavy. Doesn't look as fast. Doesn't look as quick. Doesn't look as decisive. And I really think that's part of his hold-in. You know, the more you play football, the more you get in football shape, as everybody always talks about. And that's what I see. He just doesn't look like the Roquan Smith we've seen the last couple of years. He just, you know, last week was not a good week for him. Normally what he can do, if a lineman's coming out at him, he'll either beat you to the point or run behind you, which you're not supposed to do, quote unquote, but he'll beat you to still the point where the running back's going. And he's not able to do that right now. And I don't know if that's because he's heavy, reps, whatever it is, but he just doesn't look the same as he has in the past. And my guess is if you ask the strength coach, Jim Arthur, he's probably going to say he's 10 pounds heavier than he's been in the past.
That's strong stuff there, Pat. Because I don't know, and you would know more if you're watching and breaking it down. It strikes me that the defensive line's not doing a very good job of like maintaining their men and like swallowing blockers to allow Roquan to get places. So,
Matt, hold on real quick. It's a different defense too, because that you know, the 5-3 or whatever the three down linemen, the 3-5 or whatever you want to call it. Their job is to kind of take the double teams on. When you're running Lovie Smith, Eberflus style, that's getting up the field. So a guy's, you know, they're not really taught to hold on to a guard if you're on the center.
Right. So how much
you're going to have more one-on-one blocks? So he's got to beat the run. He's got to beat the guard to the point. He's got to beat him to the point to get to the running back.
Okay. Well, that makes sense though. So is it not understanding exactly what his role is and how he has to play in this defense?
I don't think it's that. I think he's just a He's not slow, because Roquan's not slow, but he's a tick slow for him. And I think what made him excellent was he could run under blocks and still make the tackle and get to whatever gap or whatever point he needed to get to. And he would, maybe if a guard's coming up on him clean, he could beat him to the point, dip that shoulder, get in there and get in the gap, and that's how he got all the tackles for losses he's had. And I just don't see that little suddenness or quickness yet. And I expect it to be coming in the next couple of weeks as he gets more in football shape, but I just don't see that yet.
Yeah, and now you've missed camp, you missed the ramp-up period and back-to-back days without practicing and this hip injury. You hope it's just not one of those weird years where you never get it right and feel good in a football season. We're talking to Pat Manley. Is there anything from what you know or have seen or watched on film about the Texans that in your mind is like, yep, that's the key to the game on Sunday?
Not yet. So I've watched the first game against the Colts. There is one thing. Davis Mills will pull the trigger where Justin Fields is not yet. So I think there is a chance we get turnovers or takeaways from him. But what's interesting to that team is when I just open up the notebook and put on their depth chart, I'm like, who are these people? And
yeah.
So that, what that does, that reminds me of the Bears, right? No, seriously, it reminds me of the Bears. I was like, wait a minute. Who are these people playing? Because they're not household names. They have very few first-rounders. They have Laremy Tunsil, people remember, or O.J. Howard from the Bucks. But there's a few people, names. But
Derek Stingley, the corner.
Well, except first-rounder, yeah.
Yeah, the corner from LSU this year.
Whatever, but there's not a whole bunch of guys. You're like, yep. I'm like, all right, I had to click on all these guys. I'm like, where'd they go to school? What round were they drafted in? Oh, they came over from the 49ers. They came over from the Colts or whatever. So there's nothing yet on this tape that says, all right, this is how they're going to beat them. But to me, and I think I said it in the post game with Mully, this is the battle of the bottom thirds of the NFL. Mm-hmm. Where are you going to finish in the bottom third of the NFL this season? That's the battle that this game is to me.
Well, you mentioned that Mills will pull the trigger, whereas Fields mm-hmm. will not. You were great the other day with Bernsey and Holmes talking about Fields and breaking down what he does and does not do as a pocket passer at this point. Do you believe that is something that can and will improve in weeks to come, or is it something that you either have or you don't have, which is what Mike Martz told us last week?
Yeah, I don't know if he has it. And I'm hopeful, right? Being a fan, a former player, and all that kind of stuff, I'm hopeful. But the one play that got me the most, it was a little return route when Mooney was on their linebacker. He was in the slot. And he had to get up under center and be like, all right, that's the guy I'm going to. We've got it formation. We've got it all planned out. And there was a little pressure from Borum, very little pressure. And next thing, he's looking at him, and he won't pull the trigger. And Mooney beat him great. Had that, the return routes where he'd go towards the linebacker, towards the middle of the field, and then return towards the sideline. And he's wide open. NFL wide open and won't pull the trigger. And I'm just, all right, that's two things. He doesn't know what's going on pre-snap, and he won't pull the trigger in an NFL open wide receiver. So that scares me. So the answer is, I don't know. And I'm hopeful that we'll find out more in the future and that he will do that, but it really scares me, Matt.
Pat, can you tell your story from that dinner? And I'm sure you've told it before, of when you used that brilliant Duke brain of yours to make the realization of, you know what? Long snapping might be for me in the NFL.
Wait, which one? The one where I sprained my ankle?
You were talking about who you were going up against in practice, and you were like, I feel like I've got a longer career here as a long snapper than
Ted Washington?
Yeah, that would be the one, yeah.
Yes, so my first couple years, well, I have a few moments of where I realized it was not my...
Yeah, that had to be a slow burn to get there.
It was a slow burn, but when Ted Washington, so against Ted Washington, my first couple years, I was kind of a practice squad O-lineman, and I'm going against Ted Washington, and I'm trying to block him. And he just puts his hand on me. He's like, stop touching me. Don't touch me. Can't get me hurt. Don't touch me. We got a game on Sunday. Well, when you're in meetings in O-line, you're the practice squad guy. They're telling you, go harder, go harder, go harder. And I'm like, that's Ted Washington. He told me not to go harder. I'm going to go with what Ted says. And then now I realize, let's just worry about being a long snapper.
It was smart.
Yeah.
It was smart.
Yes. They used to call Ted Washington Mount Washington.
Yes.
And the Washington Monument. 6'5", 375 was the playing dimensions.
Go,
of one
go higher than that. Go higher than that.
Yeah? 6'5", four bills?
Oh. And just an intimidating man in the locker room. What a great leader. What a great football player. All that stuff. And thank God for Dick Geron recognizing that and saying it's okay to lose weight and become a full-time long snapper.
So if you had stayed with offensive linemen, you got 16 years and 245 games as the long snapper. Mm-hmm. How many years and games do you think you have if you say, you know what, I'm going to be an offensive lineman?
2 years practice squad.
Wow.
That's it. That's it. There's no way, man. They were giants. They're just different. Like, I'm a big person, right? You've met me, obviously, but they're just different humans, man. When I first met Big Cat Williams, I was like, oh, God. Okay. That's what that looks like.
Yeah,
that's a really smart decision.
You are a big person. You have a large frame. You got big shoulders, and it's like, oh man, he's built like a. That's a different species. Pat Manley is next to me, but that's the way you
avatars.
Felt. That's the way you felt next to those guys. They're avatars.
100%. Yes.
Yeah. 2 years on the practice squad.
Maybe 2 years. Might have been cut like week three, second year.
As opposed to most games in the history of the Bears franchise.
God. Thank God for long snapping, man.
What a smart decision.
It's a different kind of life. No wonder you named a beer after it.
I mean, the guy's on a boat right now in Florida. It was a great decision. All right, Pat, go back to the water. Thank you, sir.
All right. I might have to crack a beer now. Thanks, guys.
Oh, we heard you put down the glass during the interview.
Yeah, but
stop
there was a
lying.
No, that was water, guys. That was water.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. We'll see you later, Pat.
Cannot confirm.
Cheers.
Cannot confirm.
Yep, cheers. Pre and post. You hear him on pre and post on the score. You hear him, like you said, with Bernstein and Holmes, with us. He's the good. He's Pat Manley.
Yeah. Good stuff in there on Roquan. Has anybody flat out called it out like he just did? In terms of looking a little heavy, looking a little slow, I don't know if anybody's said it that directly.
No, they haven't. It's weird for me. He's the expert. I will defer to him. But missing practice with a hip injury, I feel like a hip injury would make you a little slow.
It could.
You know what I mean? Like that seems to make a decent. Like, when did he suffer the hip injury in the game? How long was he playing through it? We don't know the details of that.
But he knows what players look like and what game speed looks like.
Absolutely. I'm just saying, Alan Williams, the defensive coordinator today, said he expects Roquan to play, but then he didn't practice. Normally, if you don't practice on Thursday, you're going to be with a doubtful injury designation at the end of the week. So there's a little bit of a discrepancy here as to what the DC is saying and what they're doing with the injury report. I thought it was good stuff on Ebner, too. I know it's
definitely.
I know it's a very small thing for a team that's not going to be that good. It's not like a guy that they've invested a lot in.
But it's also new coaches doing that, and we've got a guy in Pat who knows exactly what he's talking about as he looks at it.
Yeah.
I mean,
and maybe it's a role for Herbert. Like a way to get him more touches if Velus isn't going to be that guy. But I assume Velus is going
to
be the guy.
It needs to be Velus. And Velus could be a game breaker in that role. But Pat appreciates the flow and the shared ballet of that stuff and really understands it.
So we'll talk to Dave Wannstedt. He'll come in studio at 4 o'clock. Do want to hear what Luke Getsy had to say on the 4th-and-1. And Speaks came in saying, oh, you're not going to believe it. There's like real drama around this thing that I've been doing all year long. I was like, oh, yeah? So he's going to tell us the story coming up after we hear from Luke Getsy. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Fans, they don't like him.
Afternoons on the score.
Shotgun, Fields, runs, pushes towards the goal line. It looks like he's short. He is.
The call was correct by Tirico. Looks like he's short. He is. But, I mean, I'm pretty sure if we lived in the future and there was a chip in the ball.
Someday.
Right? That's a touchdown.
Where are my giant laser beams?
Yeah.
Where is my chip in the football? Come on, science.
As the thing, for all the consternation over the call, pretty sure he got in.
I still hate the call.
I understand. I thought it was fine.
Totally hate the call.
Yeah.
You're moving the quarterback away, and then he's got to start and get the momentum. I know, but also, like, they got to hear the snap and everything. And, like, David Montgomery's the best Bear on the field.
No, Speaks. You're going to hear soon about the studies they did.
So.
But here's the thing, real quick. I didn't say this on Monday. If your wrist is over the line of scrimmage and the ball is on the other side of your wrist, how can the ball not be in?
Right, it does defy logic, but they have to in order to overturn call on the field, indisputable video evidence. So if they couldn't see the ball,
stupid. This is why I don't watch. By the way, you guys know it's stuff like this.
Okay,
this is why
is the reason I don't watch.
Yeah,
Also, I just don't have much of an interest.
I get it. It's supposed to be a tough job for you in football season.
I watch the Bears.
I know you do. I know you do.
Drunk.
Shane Shane made a pick, too. We got to talk about the picks at some point.
I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. Okay. Let me guess. Bears by a million?
Well, let me just say that I made my pick, and then I opened up the link, and I'm like, did you look at it yet?
No, I haven't seen it. It still doesn't exist.
I'll get to it later.
Yeah, wait for me to find it. All right. Here is Luke Getsy on the play call that everybody hated, even though it worked.
If you had fourth and one to do over again, are you going quarterback power or are you getting it off?
No, I would have. We love that play. No, we didn't. We didn't execute it properly. We for whatever reason, we kind of saw something. We were seeing a little ghost a little bit up front, so they were able to get penetration where we should have had two linemen on one to stop that penetration, which kind of got Lucas off a little bit instead of cleaning that gap. And then it would have just been Lucas with 59 in the hole. And then Justin, you know, still would have had to run through some contact. But, no, we knew that was our plan. We talked about it all week. We went over every front that they present. And that we had plenty of time. There was like a stoppage and play for the replay, right? And we're like, we knew what was coming. And that was exactly what we wanted. We just didn't execute it well enough. And, again, we got to get them coached up a little bit better so that they don't make that mistake. Again, it's the defense. It's defensive driven. So when you do your study and your research and you say, as soon as the guy goes under center, you're going to get presented these things. You know, it's funny. We did an off-season study and of QB sneaks and you know, there's certain defenses that you try to stay away from and then but it presents really good other opportunities, and like that's what this we felt like was as well. You know, whether it's situations often dictate that kind of stuff more than necessarily just a pure statistic, I think. And again, that's us. We did our research. We evaluated what they were going to present to us, and we thought that was the best opportunity for us to score when we had that defense presented to us. And so we evaluated. We even looked back after afterward, and we still feel good about what we decided. You know, we just got to make sure that we coach it better so that we execute it, so we don't have to answer this question.
Wow, that's a lot of time and energy fighting back on that one.
Yeah.
Danny,
they studied it.
They've done studies, you know.
Yeah.
And 60% of the time, that play call works every time.
Yeah, it's true. The numbers, and these were quoted on Monday.
Wow.
Touchdown percentage on run plays from the 1 yard line since 2017. In the shotgun, 63%. Not in the shotgun, 55%. Touchdown perception percentage on quarterback run plays from the one.
Anybody could find this stuff. They've done studies.
That's a really cool stat. Thanks for sharing that with me.
No problem. Touchdown percentage on quarterback run plays from the one. 74.5% out of the shotgun, 60% out of no shotgun. And that is on 283 quarterback shotgun run attempts, not counting pass plays where the QB ended up running.
Then 112, 129, 101, 126, 148, 116, 152, 117, 103.
I do have a percentage that was missed in there, a legit football statistic that I saw today when I was watching the Jason Kelce, Travis Kelce podcast, which I do enjoy. I find them both very entertaining. 1 yard, if 1 yard is needed, 92% of the time, 1 yard can be gained on a quarterback sneak from under center. 92% of the time you get 1 yard on a quarterback sneak under center.
So that's not at the goal line, but that is just if you gain a yard.
Yeah, you need 1 yard, and that's what they needed.
You run the sneak.
They needed, and they needed less than a yard.
Nine inches.
They were on like the,
I've been asking all week for 9 inches.
It's a good podcast. You should watch or listen. They are very entertaining.
All right, that sounds good.
One ST.
Great, but I need 9 inches.
Got it.
Jason's great. And Travis is a character. And they're brothers, aren't they? Same last name and everything.
Can't get anything by this guy.
Well, he's doing his research this year. And he found that in his research.
Haven't you noticed, Shane?
And you think these Jason Kelce and Travis Kelce might be related?
Nailed that.
Yeah.
The podcast is literally called Hey, We're Brothers.
Is it really?
No.
Oh, okay. Is it called 1ST and Kelce? Something like that?
We're the Philly!
Man.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I still hate the call. Thank you, Luke, for all your explanation and your energy. And I guess you're the offensive play caller, not me.
That's right.
So, so good luck with it next time.
Well, that's the thing. So even if you hate the play call, he said he would do it again.
Yes, he did.
So
that's very talk show host of him.
I mean, it's, but it, or is it not process based?
Like, if he believes...
Yeah, that's true.
That, sure. that right? That,
if he really believes that's the best thing to do.
That it's process, but he is not going to let one negative result, albeit a high-profile negative result, derail him from his process.
That is absolutely the philosophy that he detailed right there. And that right. that inherently is a philosophy I do want my coach and decision-maker to have.
Yeah, so I think that totally reasonable minds can disagree and debate the hell out of it, but... He says that he liked it and they would do it again, so get ready for it to happen again.
All right, so here are the picks, Danny. Click on it at your leisure. I mean, or now would be good.
Okay.
You picked the Bears.
I did.
Bears over the Texans, 20-10.
Yeah.
I picked the Bears. I'm 2-0, by the way. Chris Tannehill, also 2-0.
You like my in-depth analysis on the website there?
No write-up whatsoever.
So I have it pulled up over here, and Tanny's looking over my shoulder. He's like, oh, wait. Do they post the description somewhere? I said, yeah, on the website. I said, oh, that's why I don't have any analysis.
I didn't know that they still used, like, you know, usually you write a short blurb as to why do you think the score is going to be what it's going to be. But my mind is fixated on that graphic on social media. That's what I keep thinking about.
Just score and winner.
Yeah, because it looks so beautiful because I got the 2-0 next to mine. Spigs, I know you got it there too.
You know,
it's a great aesthetic, really, when you're 2-0.
It's really nice. It looks good. Also, Chris Emma has it at 2-0 as well. The three of us are all 2-0. Oh, poor Studs. Adam Studzinski is 0-2, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. How did the Bears fan not get that week one game?
I know. He was upset with himself. But so I picked him 27-13, Danny. And I'm like, I opened the link and I'm like, I'm sure that I have the biggest blowout. 27-13. Nope. Shane Reardon, 28-6.
Yeah.
Bears over Texans, 28-6.
Have you read his analysis?
I have absolutely no analysis to support my pick, is sentence number one.
I'll leave that to all the sports dorks who work here. But why on earth would I predict a loss for the team I love? Why, as a fan, would I ever bring negative energy into a space where there's already plenty of it?
Oh, yeah.
It's 2022, and we choose manifestation over the assumption of pain and sorrow.
Yeah. Sounds like a smart guy. Is that Kerouac?
That's legit beautiful, and it actually goes back to why you had a problem with Tom Hamilton saying that White Sox fans show up angry, ready to yell.
Yeah,
because no, you, even though you're very shangry about things, are a very positive person.
How's that manifestation working, by the way, with the tattoo?
Dude, I did that for a show bit. You know that.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Oh, my God, the tattoo.
I'm happy.
He'll live with it for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
He tattooed himself with White Sox Division Champions 2022. What'd you do that, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, September 4th.
Okay.
Right?
That was the day.
So yeah. three weeks and a day?
Yeah, no, you dominated or transition and that. The opening segment that day.
I hope it was worth it. Yeah.
Someone has to.
Yeah, we would have had nothing to talk about that day. What's the drama? In your world?
Oh, drama in my world? In Beat the Streak?
Oh, yes, Matt. I was looking forward to the Beat the Streak. Yeah, that's what I teased before the break.
Yeah, no, I know.
I
was late for this break last hour, and I was worried about being late for the break this hour. I'm trying to stay
both
on the clock.
Both things are avoidable. Both of those things are important.
All right. Okay. We'll come back with his drama in his world in the next segment before Dave Wanstead. I really think that whenever we can have Beat the Streak drama and intrigue, we need to stretch it out.
Yeah, tease it twice.
As long. That's why I thought that maybe you could just do it there in a nice quick 60.
Oh, yeah.
But no.
I felt pushed around, frankly.
Oh, my God.
Break.
Yeah, I know. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
Everybody, we are live.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Strange twists and turns with the guys over there on the Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Afternoons on the Score.
We're having a little fun.
What I'd love to see is a nice streak, you know?
Yes. We'll have Dave Wanstead, who is in studio, but we'll have him on a mic in studio in 15 minutes. Spiegs has hosted the Beat the Streak podcast all season long, and today he gleefully told us there's legitimately something interesting happening in the Beat the Streak world.
I think so.
That's good timing with about 15 games left in the season.
I know. Like, it's look, people keep quitting on Beat the Streak because they get discouraged and they quit a lot in the final month of the thing.
For anyone who doesn't know, you have to predict who's going to get a hit. If you do it 56 games in a row, you get $5.6 million.
Right. Yeah, 57 technically.
You got to beat the streak.
You got to beat DiMaggio's 56. Okay, right. Yeah, and you can do two in a day.
Okay.
So at this point right now, there's 14 more days in the regular season. 28 is the most that you could add to an active streak, right?
Yes.
So you have to be at 29 or higher to still have a chance at 57 and $5.6 million.
Yeah.
There's five people total. I mean, like
5 people total
streaking who are at 29 or higher.
Oh, okay.
So there's literally only 5 people who could possibly win the grand prize at this time. Hundreds of thousands of people play this every year.
Sure.
Right now, there's 5 people.
Are they going to... I heard you. There's 5 people.
Danny, there's 5.
Is that the interesting part of the story?
Somewhere between 4 and 6. No. There's a guy at the top.
Guys, can you repeat how many people there are?
Whiteboard the amount of people again for the folks at home.
If you start at 3 and go all the way to 7 and split the difference,
okay,
you get there.
All right.
So the dude on the top, Bunger is his name. He was 11 days away from
Bunganator.
Bunger. 11 days away from $5.6 million, and he picked Tyler Naquin of the New York Mets.
I would not have done that.
Nobody would have. But Bunger did.
Oh, man.
And he got a hit. And he's alive. And it's like, what? Who? Why?
Was there some kind of violence at the park after the hit that caused him to
to not be alive?
A chance at murder?
No. But Bunger's alive. And now he's 9 days away. But it's a ridiculous person to pick.
Okay.
And Ryan Porth lost his freaking mind this morning on the podcast. Angry at the entire process.
Well, I'm sure you gave Tanny that audio then to really beef up the segment.
No, I didn't.
What the hell, dude? Tanny, break.
I mean, you have to champion the Beat the Streak for yourselves, you and Parth. You know, so you gotta help me out a little bit.
Yeah.
How am I supposed to know these things?
I see you when you mentioned Parth went crazy. Tanny looks around like he's like, wait, what? What?
Yeah.
What happened? Okay. All right. So Parth went crazy. Yeah, we'll just have to take your word for it.
Yeah, Parth went crazy.
Okay.
I bet it sounded a little bit like this. Yo, there's no way that Tyler Naquin got a hit, y'all. Y'all, get your hours in.
No,
yeah,
fill out your time sheet.
Yeah,
because Tyler Naquin's hitting .165 in the last 29 games.
Okay,
but the dude took him.
Oh man,
and he's alive.
All right, he's alive.
Yeah. So, you know, Porth said it's like if your buddy's on a gambling heater and he's like, "I'm gonna put $500 in #31 on roulette,"
and then it hits,
and then it hits. It's that kind of thing.
Well, so do you think he's going to go for it every day?
I think that's the kind of thing that is going to... Because he looked at a matchup. He was going against a Brewers pitcher. He was 7 for 11 lifetime against the Brewers pitcher, hitting .650. Hmm. So he went with the tiny little sample of the matchup as opposed to anybody that most people have heard of or know or who's having a good year, and it worked. So maybe that's the kind of conviction it takes to go away from the big names.
But he's at 29.
39.
No, he's at 39.
He's now at 39.
Okay, so he's 27 more correct picks away.
Yeah, 18.
18.
He's 9 days away.
Let's erase that tape.
What if you're on 55 in the last game of the season? You had to wait all offseason? Is that how that works?
No, you're done.
Oh, you're done.
Yeah,
the streak doesn't carry over?
Does not carry over. Does not carry
wait
over.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. Does not carry over.
I don't like
no
that.
Wonder the host says you can't win.
Well, no, it's just a difficult thing to do.
Okay.
It because the other thing is that if just the top streak on the year gets $10,000. So there's a guy, Kiyoshi Lotus, 26. You know Kiyoshi Lotus, 26.
Yeah, long time guy.
He's at 45. He's sitting there with $10,000 in the clubhouse. Bunger's at 39. He only needs 3 more days to tie Kiyoshi Lotus. And then they split the 10 grand.
Wow. Okay. Well,
so we got drama. We got late season drama.
Can you interview Bunger?
I've asked. I asked this morning.
You asked Bunger himself?
No, I asked
Beat the Streak.
I asked MLB to reach out on Bunger's behalf. Yeah, this would have been better if I gave you the angry Porth audio. I'm going to go ahead and point the thumb on that one.
The good thing is we teased it twice.
yeah, I wouldn't have had time 15 minutes ago to grab that. You know?
Yeah.
Texture says, go ahead, Speaks. I'm sorry, but then I want to set this up as to why we're so angry.
Okay. Texture says, we keep hearing about the boring 1ST ampersand pod search saga, but Speaks has an interesting pod story, and he drops the ball like the White Sox defense. Shaking my head. Guy's angry at both of us.
Understandable.
If this
Shane, we are not angry, Shane. Let's clarify. We are not angry.
I'm angry for you.
Don't be.
If this were like an island thing, but just yesterday, Spiegs mentioned, did you guys hear somebody mentioned me on Twitter on like Thursday that Boomer and Gio talked about us?
Yeah, and I should have shared
on
that.
On a Wednesday.
Yeah.
When we have Boomer on.
When you have Boomer on. And Teddy's already worked on the open.
Yeah, well, you know.
I got it, though.
You did
get communication. That's the key. I don't care how late you tell me. Just tell me.
Yeah, no. Listen, Speaks is new to radio. he hasn't been.
I think this media might stick around for a little while.
You just got to keep bringing sandwiches every day like you did today. Yeah. Thank God you brought those sandwiches.
Yeah, everything is forgiven.
Hey, were those sandwiches not the best song we've ever produced?
they really were.
I think as a song.
They sounded delicious.
They were delicious.
Yeah.
Absolutely true. Shout out to Rick Abennies on 26th.
Yoan Moncada in the lineup batting second
tonight
for your Chicago White Sox.
Wow. So nothing punitive as far as we can tell.
No punitive action has been taken for the laissez-faire attitude in last night's game, at least when it comes to playing time. Man. So although I guess you could argue it's punishment to have to play in these games going forward. But
look, if anybody remembers any time since Bobby Cox took out Andrew Jones on the field, what was it 25 years ago, 30 years ago? If anybody remembers a time since that's happened, please let me know. We've asked some of the best baseball minds we have access to. We've missed some of the most important commercial breaks of the show to try and get to the bottom of this.
It's true.
And I'm nowhere.
It's true. I also would just like to pass along that we are crazy close to $30,000 raised for brain cancer research. The Brain Up Walk, the 5K, the run walk is this Saturday. My brother will be there. My family will be there. Shane is going to come out, which is very nice. And we've got some other people that are going to be there. Hoping to raise $500,000 for brain cancer research right here in Chicago. If you want to, we're like $600 away on my team page from $30,000. Give.classy.org/Brad Parkins. Give.classy.org/Brad Parkins. Or it's the link in my Twitter bio again. David Hochberg and Russ Armstrong have been very generous with big donations where people have got matches going on right now. But pretty cool, man. This has far exceeded our original goal of $20,000, and now we're $622 away from raising $30,000 as a family, second most of any of the groups at the run walk.
That is outstanding.
Pretty damn cool. Pretty cool.
Team Brad, baby.
That's right. So appreciate everyone who supported us. And yes, I will be walking a 5K. That's going to be a long walk for your boy.
Danny, just to clarify, that's normally where I take my Saturday morning walk. I come all the way down from Buena Park to walk Maggie Daly Park.
Oh.
So that's why I'm going.
Oh, okay.
Just because you guys have the walk there where my normal walk route is.
Okay. Well,
I don't want it to mean anything more than that.
Well, then I'll remove the sentimentality from the support that you've shown me professionally and personally and my family.
Thank you.
Yeah. No problem. That's a good clarification. Thank you, Shane.
It was weird. Way to stay that nemesis. Yeah. Good job.
Yeah. Don't want anyone thinking he's a good guy.
Nope.
We can't let that get in the way here.
What is he manifesting by sharing that bit of information?
There's no way to know. We got some glasses with ice. Let's pour some bourbon. Dave Wanstead's here. It's Parkinson Spiegel on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.